Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I almost wasn't because I felt like I had, and I heard Cheryl use the phrase, a lot going on. I've been saying that now for several weeks, and, you know, I mean, if you look, it certainly looks like I have a lot going on. But I think inner wisdom would tell me that is a matter of perspective, and we're gonna look at that today. But first, I'm gonna play a song, and this is the song that came into mind when I said, "Okay, what song?" And so let me get it up here, and here we go. REO Speedwagon. Can't fight this feeling.
Even as I wander, I'm keeping you in sight.
Okay. Woohoo, Cheryl says. I agree. Woohoo. What a fun song to start with. I was a little surprised that was what I was to play, but I think it's right on. Cheryl mentioned that she hears surrender in that song, and I certainly do. And she's hearing it today, she says. And I know Kathy talked about that a bit. In fact, I was really glad when Kathy reread from, I guess you're reading from Michael Langford's book, Kathy, but she reread the, yeah, she reread that section, and because I wanted to hear, yes, experience your perfect soul. Thank you, Kathy. I wanted to hear again this phrase that I wrote down when she reread it. Be willing to let go of personal dependency and rejoice in the guiding hand of love, which is just a really beautiful way of describing what inner wisdom is saying to me as well. And I got to tell you, it's so funny that REO Speedwagon song is just. It just brought tears to my eyes when I heard it. And so, the question becomes, what is it what is it that I'm fighting? And while these things that I seem to be experiencing with all that I've got going on don't really seem to be resistance, I do find that I am still fighting, and it seems that I am fighting. Well, by relying on my personal dependency, right? By relying on myself as opposed to relying on truth and faith and, the naturalness of being. And so I really think that that's how all of this fits together. Pardon me for coughing in the mic. But let me just give you a little background. You guys know that I'm moving to Colorado, and I'm doing that in I'm looking up here at the my lovely La Vita calendar that Regina gave me, but it looks like that is happening in a week and a half. It's happening in 7, 8, 9 days. So it seems like I'm very busy. We've got the condo up for sale. I just yesterday finished up the paperwork for the short sale on the other home that I own. I mentioned that specifically because I'm trying to get all these other things done, including fixing up the condo, painting, and getting it on the market and stuff. And so this short sale thing just kind of sat in the background. And so I said, well, I'm going to start that on Tuesday. I worked, at the courthouse on Monday. So I'm like, okay, Tuesday it is. And then when I sat down with it, I mean, it just came together like within, I don't know, 2, 3 hours, much to my surprise. And actually seemed to, it ended up being a very simple task. At least the completion of that ended up being a simple task. And I think that that it's the worry about it and the the imagined whatever the scenarios that I run in my head about being overwhelmed and being busy and being, pulled in a multitude of directions. It's all my thoughts about all that that cause the stress and make it seem overwhelming, make it seem like it's beyond what I can do. And I spoke with inner wisdom about this today. After I went, no, wait, I do have time to do this program. I'm doing an MPP class, and I felt like I needed a lot of time to prepare for that. And again, when I picked it up, it's like, oh yeah, I know this material. And within, 15, 20 minutes, felt prepared to do that class. But when I had originally talked about not being here today, I couldn't find last week's homework. I couldn't find the what are my papers from last week, and da 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 da. And just like everything just seemed just crazy, just up in the air, just like, oh my God, it seemed like overwhelm. Anyway, when I determined that I was going to do, when I went, oh, well, actually, I can do my program today, I sat down with Inner Wisdom. We wrote about it a little bit, and I'm going to read that. Like I say, I'm going to read that to you in a minute. But first, I realized that I haven't said a prayer, and I want to say a prayer. And I just want to express my undying, extreme gratitude for everything is just the way it is. It's just such, there's such power in that, and I am so thrilled to have the opportunity to experience each thing that I experience in exactly the way that I experience as it comes along. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Inner Wisdom. Amen. So what I want to do is I just have a couple of journal entries this week, and I have not reread the other one that I'm going to read you, but I think that it's right in line with that. So I'm just going to with what we're talking about here. So I'm going to start with that one. So this is journaling on day 77's Thought of Awakening from Regina's 365 Thoughts of Awakening from Holy Spirit. Okay, here we go. From within the stillness, you are aware of the one unifying field. Stand within this awareness as that of which you are aware. Again, from within the stillness, you are aware of the one unifying field. Stand within this awareness as that of which you are aware. Be the unifying field itself, and you bring the gift of peace to the peacemakers of the world. And I asked, Holy Spirit, what would you have me see in this thought or about me? And we wrote, notice that the thought of awakening emphasizes the stillness as the starting point in your awareness. As you have envisioned, the stillness beyond thought is indeed the source of your strength. Your tendency is to, quote unquote, fit in time and stillness as your schedule allows. Again, your tendency is to fit in time and stillness as your schedule allows. Know that there is no task more important, more time sensitive. Trying to fit stillness in is like trying to grocery shop first and then getting a shopping basket after you have made your selections. As source, the unifying field is that from which all clarity springs. Clarity is your greatest asset. Clarity is your greatest asset and the means to receive all that you need to sustain and direct you as you move along the path towards me. That's amazing. Be still and know I am. Be still and know the strength and joy and truth of your being. Remember that all things are given for your healing. Remember that thoughts that arise outside, quote unquote, outside of the stillness and the clarity that arises there are thoughts that support your sickness. Learn to draw only on thoughts of healing and wholeness. The only way to learn this is to practice stillness. From here, you may proceed in faith that you are being led by thoughts of healing. Know that the thoughts of urgency and anxiety do not come from source. These thoughts can be safely set aside. When you see these thoughts, remember they are not of source. Be still and ask me what you are to do instead. Yeah, and it's just, you know, now I get up in the morning and do my lessons. I'm aided in that by Anne, who, when she's in town anyway, we meet in the morning and do the lessons together, and that's very helpful. It's a lovely way to get the day started. But the time in stillness, the committed, devoted time in stillness, sometimes gets, you know, put on a back burner. Sometimes it gets gotten to later in the day. Sometimes not at all. You know, I can see the thought that, okay, therefore I am bad. Of course, I know that's crap. But that doesn't mean the whole idea needs to be dismissed. It's really it's merely a gentle pointing that I feel from inner wisdom. That really says, look. This is the last thing you want to put aside, because it's from here that that everything else flows. It's this is where, and you know what? When I was writing this, I was getting the sense of like, well, Wonder Woman was coming to my mind, but that's really not the at first. But that's not really the appropriate thing. It's like. Really, it's the, what is the woman's name on that Star Trek, The Color by a Number. I'm trying to think of what the name of the character is. But it's like she would go every night, as opposed to like sleeping, she would go into this machine that kind of regenerated her, you know, vitality. Seven, I think they called her. But I was just getting this sense of like these superheroes, right? That go into their, like, and be with whatever the source of their strength is. And, you know, and that this, and that the stillness works for me in the same way. Yeah, her name was Seven of Nine, by the way, from Star Trek. But just reconnecting to source, and that's what she would do in that program. That was reconnection to source, replenishes, revitalizes. You know, it's just resting in that space, resting in the truth of who I am, resting within that unifying field. Being the unifying field, and it's from there that my truth strength arises. It's from there that my clarity arises, that I participate in the strength of the truth of who I am. And the clarity, it occurs to me, that arises is simply a remembrance of the truth of who I am, right? But it's the ability to then take that clarity into what might seem like a very, very, very busy world, right? Or judgments I have about the world, whatever, however it seems to be showing up, if my clarity remains in source, then it's, you know, it's there that I operate from. It's, you know, it's the same thing that NTI talks about when it talks about, you know, looking out from your heart, going to your heart first, and then operating from there. Yeah. Yeah. Cheryl says they become one with the force, so to speak. Amen. Yeah, it's just like that. Cindy says, the first thing I want is to connect with brothers, so I go in to gather or hear if it's open instead of going within. And yes, when I do get still in the evening with the day's happenings, good or bad to deal with, stillness then is a struggle. Yeah. Yeah, Cindy. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, and then later you go, it's hard to remember, right? It's hard to get back to that spot, and seemingly, and be still. But if we start from the stillness, then we can carry that clarity with us throughout the day, throughout whatever seems to be going on. Although it's certainly possible the other way, and today is a good example of that. Because when, you know, I couldn't find the paperwork and for the MPP class from last week, and I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't got this week ready, and da da da, you know, and it, you can just hear it, it just spins out, right? My mind spins out, my monkey mind takes over and spins out, and I just get into this, you know, I feel all fluttery in my chest, while at the same time feeling contracted. And just am not operating from that base of stillness, from that base of clarity. So let me read you what we wrote this afternoon. What would you have me see about this frantic feeling that I cannot get everything done that needs to be done? And it's here, it's when I asked the question that the song came in. I can't fight this feeling anymore. Because, you know, really, that's what I want to do. It's funny because the song can be interpreted in so many ways, but I just, again, I want to wrestle things to the ground and subdue them, and, you know, and it's all a fight. It's all a struggle. It's all a battle. But, you know, that's coming at it, like we just said, bass backwards, right? It's like thinking that I am the need to struggle, that I am the need to do, that I am the need to accomplish, and then trying to go from there into some kind of stillness or clarity instead of working my way from clarity through whatever the events of the day are. So anyway, I asked, what would you have me see about this frantic feeling that I cannot get everything done that needs to be done? And the answer, the feeling you would call anxiety or overwhelm is simply a misplaced reliance on your own strength or lack thereof. If you remember, there is a time for all things, and each in its own time, you will no longer feel as if you are fighting time. You know, it's interesting, we watched The Matrix a couple weeks ago for our Movie Watchers movie, And that phrase stood out to me when he said it. Morpheus, when he's showing Neo around the ship, or perhaps it's before he ever gets him to the ship. Anyway, Morpheus says to Neo, "We are always fighting time." And it kind of stood out to me as a little off. I'm like, why would you fight time? But I'm sure it stood out for me because it was something that I'm ready to look at. This belief that I am always fighting time. Again, it says here, if you remember, there is a time for all things, and each in its own time, you will no longer feel as if you are fighting time. Be willing to trust that those things that need to be done will be done, and the other things will fall away. Now, and I didn't write this down here, but as I read it again, this thought came back in my mind, the same one that I had as I was writing this paragraph. And that was, at lunch a little while ago, right before the, it seemed like everything was hitting the fan, everything blowing up at once. Tom asked me, he said, well, the study needs a second coat of paint, which it does. I painted a couple of weeks ago, and it does need a second coat. And he's like, will you help me paint the study? And I said, well, I've got my program at 3, I've got MPP at 4:30. If it can wait till 6:30, I will be happy to help you do the study. But it's interesting because I don't want to be seen as a slacker, right? I want to be seen as carrying my own weight. And I prefer to say I don't need to be seen in any particular way, but I see that there. I see that thought. That I don't want to be misperceived as someone who's unwilling to carry their own weight. And so, and of course, it's all a setup. It's always a setup. Of course, he would ask me that, right? Today, when it seems like I got a lot going on. It just the perfect storm is always waiting, to be healed. Yeah, like I'm dumping the work on him. Oh, I gotta go be on my computer. But I gotta tell you that this has been a long-standing issue, frankly, in this relationship. When we were back when we were together at Hoffmeister's place. I was on the board there and doing legal work for them and doing stuff on the computer, and Tom was out whatever carrying rocks or whatever, right? Doing really hard labor, and he had said something at that point about how I don't know, it must be nice or it wasn't fair or whatever, that those people with a degree didn't have to work. And I'm feeling some contraction around this, I can tell you. And that's frankly how it has seemed throughout this relationship. Like, gosh, I'm doing poor, poor fiddle for me. Like the work that I do gets discounted because it's not manual labor. I can really feel some contraction around that. So, I assume that it stems from the same source, right? Source having been used as in another way in this conversation seems an awkward word, but I assume it stems from the same belief, misbelief, this not wanting to be seen as a slacker, this wanting to be seen as pulling my own weight. And So these are the thoughts that came up in the mind, although they weren't fully explored in the writing. So I'm just what I feel to do is go on and read some more and see if they were nonetheless addressed, even though I didn't write them down separately or ask them out loud. It says here, how could it be that you could ever be asked to complete an impossible task? This view is from a mistaken vantage point. Who would require from you that which you cannot do? Yeah, and that nearly brings me to tears, and I can tell you that that's the crux of it. Because the who that would require me to do that which I cannot do, I can do more than I can possibly do, and then I'm guilty if I don't get it done, right? That's only me. It's only a thought in the mind, right? It's only an attempt to preserve a self-concept, whether that's, and I'll tell you too that when I thought that I would not be teaching today or sharing or whatever it is we do in these programs, before I texted Cheryl, I texted Regina and let Regina know that that was my plan, was to ask Cheryl to play a recording for me. And Regina said, okay. I mean, she didn't say anything. She texted, okay, right? Totally neutral. Totally innocuous, okay. And I could see the I am bad thought coming up. Because I said I would do today. I may not do next week since that's the day before I pack everything into the U-Haul. And we had talked about that. But now I want to cancel this week too. I am bad. I'm not carrying my weight. And I thought about texting Regina back something like, does that mean I'm bad? Ha ha. Or okay, does that mean I'm not bad? Or I don't know, something. Something ha ha ha, lighthearted, right? But the thought is there. The thought is clearly in the mind, the I am bad thought. And it wasn't until just this moment, by the way, that those two thoughts kind of came together, that the I don't want to be seen as a slacker. I want to pull my own weight. That those thoughts are closely related to the underlying belief that I am bad. And in order to prove to you that I'm not bad, I have to, do whatever. I have to do what I said I'm going to do, or I have to go above and beyond, or complete all assigned tasks, or whatever it is. But I can see that that's the root thought. Or help Tom paint the room. That's right. So let's look at let's look again at this portion of the journaling. Inner Wisdom says, how could it be that you could ever be asked to complete an impossible task? This view, and of course, in my mind, the impossible task is having more things to do than I have time to do, right? That's the impossible task in my mind. This view is from a mistaken vantage point. Who would require from you that which you cannot do? This one must be merely a concept in the mind. I have told you, you need do nothing. Which I wrote that. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure that's from inner wisdom. That sounds like a cop out. Oh, I need to do nothing. I'm gonna go sit over here in the corner of the room, right? But inner wisdom explains. Cindy wants to know, do you really think the whole state of Colorado is going to get up and leave if you don't get it all done? No, but I think it could cost me my son's plane ticket home, who's moving me out there. So, you know, seriously, there's a deadline here. So, but it's all good, really. I mean, just as I sat with just as I sat with at work yesterday, and the work was easy, you know, on the short sale. It was easy, and it completed itself in an incredibly rapid amount of time, short period amount of time. So, yeah, even though there's deadlines, it doesn't mean that that I have to get all upset about it. It doesn't mean that I have to feel the overwhelm by seeing that date on the calendar. You're sweet, Cheryl. I'll come help you need if you need help. That's sweet. So let's look at this again. This really, we're looking at how my sense of overwhelm and anxiety is related to this I am bad thought, which is not what I thought we'd be talking about today. But let's look at it. How could it be that you could ever be asked to complete an impossible task? This view is from a mistaken vantage point. Who would require from you that which you cannot do? This one must be merely a concept in the mind. I have told you, you need do nothing. Doing nothing does not mean that the body is always at rest. What it does mean is that there is nothing you need do in order to earn or maintain your worth. Funny, I wrote that. Not sure didn't see the I am bad thought there. What it does mean is that there is nothing you need do in order to earn or maintain your worth. What you are to do is to feel for your place in the events that seem to be occurring around you. Feel for your place. How much to be done, when to be done, and how to be done are all questions to which your heart knows the answers. Yeah, and that's that other part of that anxiety, and I was certainly really experiencing anxiety big time last week. So much so that I couldn't even deal with simple questions, simple decisions. You know, and I talked about that last week. About, you know, I can paint the walls. That I can do, but don't ask me whether I want, you know, chicken or beef for dinner. Because that just sent me reeling, right? And that's just that, again, that feeling of overwhelm, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling that I needed to have answers that would be the right answers, the fear of making a wrong decision. And this is tapping back into that, I think. How much to be done, when to be done, and how to be done are all questions to which your heart knows the answers. Worry is not of the heart. Worry is of the mind, which would tell you that you are not enough, don't have enough. Those thoughts are thoughts of sickness. There is a way of being that allows you to be without measuring, against concepts you make up, against others, against time. I just want to read that again. There is a way of being that allows you to be without measuring. Without measuring against concepts you make up, against others, against time. When you are tempted to listen to worry. It's so funny. It's just so funny that I missed the I am bad thoughts in this before, because clearly if I'm measuring against anything, I'm measuring and finding myself coming up short. Always coming up short. And that's where the anxiety comes in. When you are tempted to listen to worry, ask me to show you a higher thought. You will know you are listening to worry when you feel contraction and shortness of breath. That's very specific, but that's definitely what I was feeling. Trust me to ease your worry. In trusting me, you may let go of worry without the fear that doing so will make you unsafe. And I was really kind of surprised to see that belief there, that like somehow the worry protects me. Somehow the worry makes me safe. Like if I don't worry, I might forget something, or something might not get done, or, you know, if I don't have that, right, that kind of mental vigilance, you know, that meant that constant attending to and what needs to be done now and what needs to be done now and which one's more important and where's my priority. And I remember now that last week we talked about, well, how do you set priorities, right? And I think that that's done by worry, and that worry is the attendant, right? The mental to-do list. Trust me to ease your worry. In trusting me, you may let go of worry without the fear that doing so will make you unsafe. Worry does not protect you or help you in any way. Realize that the belief in worry as protector is a trick of the mind. Merely by seeing worry as a distraction rather than as a trusted friend, you will free yourself and learn to breathe easily in trust that all is as it should be. That's really amazing to me. It's just blows me away that, you know, nobody wants to be worried. Nobody wants to be anxious. But at the same time, I was seeing that as my salvation, right? As my means of keeping myself safe. My means of organizing my world. What needs to be done. My task list. My internal to-do list. Realize that the belief in worry as protector is a trick of the mind. Merely by seeing worry as a distraction rather than as a trusted friend, you will free yourself and learn to breathe easily in trust that all is as it should be. Rest in that knowledge. Blessed are you on your journey. And then again, I was quite taken with all of what Kathy read, and I came in for the second half of her teaching, but I was quite taken with all of that reading, but particularly the line, "Be willing to let go of personal dependency and rejoice in the guiding hand of love." You know, I'm hearing that again and again and again, and you know, I will apply that as I'm able. But I can tell you that it's a real pleasure to slow down and be with you guys and look at these things instead of just, you know, continuing to spin in that monkey mind worry. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so. And I am now going to go get another song. So give me 1 second. And here's the one that came to mind. Let's see. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
how perfect was that, huh? How sweet. Thank you all. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks again, as always, for being mighty companions. I love you all dearly, and I realize that there's still a few minutes left. It looks like about 6 minutes, Cheryl. If you want to play your song, now might be a great time. So thanks again, guys. I love you, and I'm letting go of the mic.